Hey y'all, it is I, Anthony the Canadian Guy, and welcome to WrestleSode, the solution to your wrestling information problems. WrestleSode is a member of the Wind Column Sports Network, so remember to check us out at windcolumnsports.ca to be kept up to date on everything happening here in Alberta in the world of wrestling. Today, I am bringing you an interview with Sheik Akbar Shabazz. That's right, Sheiky Two Belts and mainstay here in Alberta for a long time. Obviously, a very well-respected, very great wrestler. We got to talk his career, what he wants to see moving forward, obviously, and we just got to talk wrestling, and it was really fun. Answered some of your questions out there in the Twitterverse, and I can't wait to share that with you today. But before we get into that, a couple of other quick notes. For anybody who's still curious, Top Talent Wrestling Academy still has spots open for training and wrestling. If you're up there in Edmonton, just go over to, or send an email over to toptalentbrand@gmail.com. and say that you're interested, and I can provide you with all the information that you might want to check out, or to go to their Facebook page and check out Top Talent Wrestling Academy over there. Really great people, really great trainers, honestly. I can't wait to make it up to Edmonton one of these days once everything kind of calms down so I can take a look at the facility and obviously chat with the guys. Super awesome guys up there. So go check it out at Top Talent Wrestling Academy. All right, so let's get into our interview here with Sheik Akbar Shabazz right after we hear from our sponsors over at the Wind Column Sports Network and the Conversations with Love.
Hello friends, this is Spencer Love interrupting your regularly scheduled podcast experience to remind you to tune in to windcolumnsports.ca every Wednesday for Conversations with Love, the one-on-one interview podcast featuring the best of the best in Canadian pro wrestling and available wherever podcasts are played. Tune in to CWL on the WCSN for your previews, reviews, breaking news, and now interviews, proudly brought to you by Beercade YEG.
Hey everyone, I am joined with former PWA heavyweight champion, former PWA everything champion, just the king of champions, essentially, Sheik Akbar Shabazz. Sheik, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. All right, so you have clearly a very tenured history in your 13, 14 years that you've had here in the business wrestling alongside Western Canada. So I kind of want to just go all the way back to the beginning. So where did it all start for you? Where did you originally fall in love with wrestling?
My dad took me to my first wrestling show when I was a kid. I barely remember it, but it was a Stampede wrestling show. And it was in some old high school gym. And I remember this little masked guy was fighting some giant fat guy, and I just remember seeing the little masked dude, and he was up on the corner making his entrance, and he stands on the turnbuckle and raises his hands up, and I looked at him and looked at the bigger guy, and I was like, yeah, good luck, buddy. But, I mean, he ended up winning, so I was like, oh, this is different, and just kind of blew me away. And then I was fumbling through the channels a couple years later, and I seen it, and I remembered, like, this is that thing my dad took me to. And then ever since then, I've just been hooked, and never really stopped watching it.
So a couple of years later, as you were saying, you started watching it on TV. Was it like WWF, WCW? What wrestling were you watching?
I think it was WCW. I remember Alex Wright doing his little weird dance.
Oh.
And then I watched that, and I really liked it and whatever. And then I found WWE, and I just watched that ever since.
Do you have any favorite wrestlers, people that you really gravitate towards?
Yeah, my favorite was Bret Hart, and then I really liked Eddie Guerrero. Yeah, and then I seen The Ultimate Warrior, and he just looked completely different. And, you know, I thought he looked really cool, and that was, you know, before I knew what good wrestling was. So, and then along the years, there was a couple other guys that came and gone, but Bret Hart and Eddie Guerrero were always my top two.
Those are great choices to have.
Oh, and Razor Ramon. I mean,
oh, you love the bad guy.
Yeah, that's why I stole the Razor's Edge. So.
Fair enough. That's awesome. So how did you get started actually training in wrestling then?
I met the referee there, Michael Fitzpatrick.
Oh, the Fitz.
Him. Yeah, I was. I knew his roommate, and Patrick would always come, and we'd kind of hang out and talk wrestling. And he said, he's like, you know, you talk about wrestling so much and you're a pretty athletic guy. I think you'd be pretty good at it. And, you know, I was just kind of like joking. I was like, yeah, but like, where am I going to train or whatever? And I was like, I'm tall, but I'm pretty skinny and whatever. And he's like, well, actually, if you meet me at this place, blah, 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 just bring your gym gear and whatever. We could show you how to be a wrestler. And I didn't really believe him because it's kind of like one of those things where it'd be like, you know, like, what are the odds? But I brought my stuff, and there was a full training class going on, and Tex Gaines was running the class, and there was a bunch of guys, like you know, old PWA guys like Danny Manners and Corporal Punishment. And JD Michaels was just coming back from an injury, and he was getting back into it. Lucas Drago, a bunch of dudes that are no longer around. I don't think anybody that was there is still wrestling.
So. That's crazy. So it's like you're just like you're listing off all these names, and you're just like you're the one left, it feels like.
I guess, yeah, I was the one stupid enough to stick with it, I guess.
You say stupid, I say, like, encouraging, and it's awesome, yeah. Because, I mean, nobody really gets as big of a pop as you do. Like, no matter where you go in Alberta, you get a huge pop.
Yeah, like, I try to be as entertaining as I can, and, you know, I mean, I don't do, like, you know, I'm never going to flip around like Michael Blaze or anything like that, but I try to do something, whether it's, like, I'm good or bad, you know, I try to just... either, like, you know, at the end of the night, try to leave them with, you know, that Cheek is really a giant asshole, or he's just, like, I don't know, just do something that they didn't think I could do or would do kind of thing, or just, I don't know.
Fair enough. So how did you get starting wrestling actually inside of the PWA then?
Well, I was training for forever, and there was never really a spot for me, but I would come to the shows, and I just kept coming, and then there was an opportunity where... they needed a spot filled, so I did it. And then I was really like here and there, just wrestled, and I kind of wrestled in RCW a bit just to get better, because there was really nothing much for me in PWA that was consistent. And then I remember I did a battle royal, and after that they used me every time. And yeah.
So then you transitioned over to the PWA, and you started off your career, it feels like, with a pretty big and pretty strong high point there. You've been champion there in so many different incarnations, tag champs multiple times, Mayhem champion, you've been the heavyweight champion, you've been other championships that don't even exist anymore. So, like, we're wrestling inside of the PWA. Would you say, specifically, a title reign that you've had that you felt the most proud of?
Yeah, my Mayhem Championship reign, I feel the most proud of, because at the time, the guys that were champions were always kind of just doing these, like, I don't know, I'm going to call them powder puff matches, where it would be like submission matches or air miles match or no count out, or just like matches that I felt were kind of like pretty boring, you know, and like not to like discount their ability and stuff, but it's just for me, I feel like, you know, for a submission match, if you're not like Eddie Guerrero or Chris Benoit or Dean Malenko or Derek or whatever, it's going to be a good match, but it won't be the best. And just, you know, you're a champion, people look to you more to have put on like these better matches and stuff. And just, I thought, like, you know, I really wanted to bring out the mayhem in the mat, in the name of the title. So I did all these, like, you know, I had these, like, you know, hardcore matches, and, you know, I had a Arabian death match I did with Kenny Stryker, where we did, you know, we did the Lego, the thumbtacks. I threw fireballs at him. You know, we'd go, he went through a table from, I threw a fireball at him when he was standing on the top rope, and he fell to the floor through a table. And just stuff like that, you know, and we whipped each other, we beat each other with kendo stick belts, whatever we could find, and just, you know, and like the fans were going insane for it. And I just wanted to kind of bring something more to it where the fans wouldn't normally see, unless it was like on TV or like somewhere in the States on the internet where they'd see it. So I just, you know, I wanted to bring it like in their face and to them. And I don't know if like a lot of the guys didn't want to do it because, like, you know, they are rougher matches and they hurt a lot. But, you know, for me, it was, you know, pain is temporary. And it's just, I just wanted to do something memorable. And, you know, because, like, you know, no disrespect to the Thickness, you know what I mean? But he's a great champ and all of that. But I just wanted to separate myself from everybody else to where it was like, you know, I don't know if they remember or not, but I just wanted to be like, you know, have people say, like, you know, this guy was a good Mayhem champion, but you should have seen when the Sheik was the champ. You know, you had, like, I had a coffin match with Gabriel. And, you know, we beat each other with Halloween stuff. And, you know, I locked him in the coffin, and then he ended up throwing my manager, John Links in there, and you know, I built it. I think I had it with Kenny Stryker too, and he ended up locking me in there, and just like all these things that you know we did were just completely different. I don't know if you'll see him again. Maybe you will. Maybe you won't.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, so.
Well, if there's ever a time to go back and look at some of these old videos, I guess now is really the time. There's a lot of time for it right now.
I guess, yeah, there's a lot of time to find things, so.
So before we start getting into the questions that I pulled from the Twitterverse here, because we got a whole bunch of them, I got to ask, so what's going on with the era of Archer right now? I mean, what's happening in this world? Obviously, PWA is on a little bit of a hold right now with this whole COVID-19 situation here. But how did you get suspended? What's going on there?
Well, the whole thing started with, I knew something was up when there was the anniversary show there. And I think it was the anniversary show. We were at Nate and Michael Allen, Richard Clark came and, you know, started beating everybody with the cutter and hitting all of us. And then he threatened Archer, you know, I want a title shot and blah, blah, blah. And then this guy started attacking me, you know, in a motorcycle helmet. And it was too much of a coincidence that something's going on. So I never trusted him. And then, you know, lo and behold, it became Andy, who was gone for I don't know how many years. And anyways, so what happened was I interfered in the Rumble, and I wasn't supposed to because I was supposed to be suspended, but they didn't kick me out of the building. And I just thought, you know what, since I got screwed out of my chance to be in the Rumble, I was going to make sure Andy wasn't going to get the win. So I came in and I tossed him out, and Archer threw a hissy fit, and you know, he's abusing his power, so he just decided to suspend me.
I've noticed recently on I've seen the hashtag the error of Archer recently happening, and I think that kind of feel like that would be the camp you're in as of late.
Well, you know, yeah, he's just like, you know how he is, just a little weasel. He's got his little henchmen that'll do what he wants, and you know, he's just calling it there, Archer's little ego trip there, and you know, but soon once this coronavirus is over and we get back on our feet and the PWA starts running again, I'm definitely gonna beat Andy, and he's gonna lose his power, and Archer's just gonna be another bum sitting on the sidewalk looking for a job.
I'll have him sit next to me in the stands. We can cheer together so you win the championship again, right?
Yeah, for sure. Give him a high five. And
we'll make signs for you, man. It'll be fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into some of these Twitter questions here, because holy cow, do we got a lot of them. So we'll kind of like rapid fire a few of them.
Okay.
The first one that I got came from Mr. Spencer Love himself. He wanted to know specifically how you got so handsome.
I don't know. I guess I got it all from my dad.
There you go.
So.
Well, there you go, Spencer. I guess that's why you didn't get. I mean, just
Well, he's. I don't know. He's come to a bunch of shows. I don't know. People say I got my dad's smile.
Oh, that's nice.
I clearly got his hairstyle because he's bald too.
So. Next question I have here from Mike Ducey, aka Mike the Sign Guy. He says, "Tell us about your love of turtles. How many do you own, and how long have you had them?"
Well, I actually, it's funny. I have a tortoise that I bought 3 or 4 years ago. It was the day after I won my Mayhem title in Calgary. I bought the tortoise. Just, I don't know, I've always wanted one, whatever. And then I had 4 turtles that I bought, and then 2 of them ended up dying, so I bought another 2. And yeah, now they're still here. So
that's awesome.
But yeah, but I mean, before that, like, I went kind of crazy with the reptiles because I had 2 fat-tailed African geckos. I had an armadillo lizard. I had a bearded dragon. I had something else. I can't remember what it was. But yeah, I decided to sell them because my house was filled with tanks, and I just decided that one day I came and I looked at everything, and I just thought, what self-respecting woman would come to my house, look at all these reptiles, and be like, yeah, this is normal, you know? And if she didn't turn around and run, I'd kind of judge her. So I just decided to get rid of a bunch of them. And then, plus the maintenance for them all was a lot. And I'm barely home as it is, so I didn't want to, like, have them and neglect them. So I'd rather just give them to people who would take better care of them.
Well, that's totally fair. That actually leads me into another question I got from Paul here over at the YYC Wrestling Hub. It says, his Twitter description has always raised the question to me, what made him a reptile enthusiast? Was it Trogdor Taberninator?
I don't know who that is.
That's totally fine. That's an old internet reference. I get it. But anyways, what made you a reptile enthusiast?
I don't know. Maybe the Ninja Turtles. Who knows? I always thought they were cool. You don't really see them that often. And I remember when I'd go to the pet store, like I once went to the mall with Michael Blaze and his girlfriend at the time. And I went to the pet store and they couldn't find me for like an hour and a half. And I was just sitting on the floor watching all these turtles in the tank move around. And they finally found me and he was mad. And he was like, I was looking all over for you. Where were you? And I was like, I was here the whole time watching these turtles. Like, I love to watch them. I think they're awesome. And I just like, I love reptiles. I would probably, if I could, if whatever, I'd have a zoo of them, but I would have to take care of them and I would be too busy to do anything else. So
would you say that like a tortoise or a turtle would be your favorite of all the reptiles, or do you have a favorite reptile?
I would say probably the tortoise and turtles are my favorite, and monkeys. I really like monkeys and stuff. So.
So, and then I guess the next question, because you raised it in my head, who's your favorite Ninja Turtle?
Probably Michelangelo. I would say I'm more like him. I'm a pretty laid back, chill guy. I love to eat junk food and, you know, he's kind of got that carefree, just like, you know, happy-go-lucky attitude, and that's kind of me.
That's awesome. He's not like the type of person I want at like my parties and stuff. Just somebody who'll just sit there and just eat some pizza and watch some wrestling kind of thing.
Yeah, well, you know what? Like, I'm usually quiet, but like once, you know, you get a couple drinks in me, I open up a lot more. So I'm more of a reserved person, whatever, but unless I'm at wrestling. But yeah, usually at a party, I'm pretty good with people.
So what you're saying is the next interview we do, I got to get you wasted first, and we'll see the other side of Sheik.
I honestly, I don't know if you'd be able to air it because I don't care. Like a lot of the times I don't care what I say or what I do. And a lot of the times like Michael has to yell at me, like, especially like if I post something or whatever, and I've had a few, he'll immediately text me and he'll be like, get rid of that now. And just like, he babysits me quite a bit.
All right, next question here from Mike Ducey once again. Did you ever dress up for Halloween? And if so, what was your favorite Halloween costume?
I remember when I was a kid, I dressed up as Zorro, and I loved it. Because my mom gave me a little curly mustache, and I had the mask and the hat and the sword and the cape, and I just ran around. I wouldn't stop. And then my other one would probably be this orange ninja suit my mom got me for Halloween.
Oh, that's awesome. With the Zorro, were you going around making Z's in the air constantly?
I was doing it in the snow every time like somebody would give me candy and I'd leave. I'd put the little Z in the snow and then I'd walk away.
Is that way you could mark where you've been that night? You come back and you're like, no, I've already hit up this house. I know.
Well, no, it's kind of like, you know, when Zorro defeats his enemy.
Yeah, he leaves his marking.
Z in his chest. So that's kind of like my thing. You know? You just got, not robbed, but you just gave me candy, I guess.
Oh, that's awesome. Next question I have here from Lana. She says, since you love ranch dressing so much, who's the human equivalent of ranch dressing?
I don't know. I haven't found her yet. So.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah, I don't know. I had this, like, usually every couple of weeks, you know, me, Michael, Richie Rage, Mark, the security guard here in Edmonton, and a couple guys, we'd go for wings and whatever. And I brought a friend of mine. She, would join us sometimes, and just like she was watching me eat, and she started filming me actually, and she said like, one day I hope I find somebody that I love just as much as I love food, which probably will never happen, but you know, there'll be a close second. But I haven't found my ranch lady yet, so
your ranch dressing is still out there.
My ranch, yeah.
Applications are open, ladies. Anybody who is listening, if you want to apply for Sheik's ranch dressing position. She has a second part to that question. Who makes the best ranch sauce?
I don't know.
Spaceman says him. That's his answer. But
I've never tried Spaceman's ranch, but I really wouldn't want to. Seems kind of weird. But I don't know. I just, as long as, like, I don't know. I just usually either get Kraft or Hidden Valley, but I've tried like the fat free stuff, but you just can't. You know, it's not the same. And like, if you're gonna eat ranch, just go all the way.
Oh yeah,
just,
you gotta put like buttermilk ranch. Is like, oh, that's the best.
Buttermilk ranch is pretty good though. Yeah, but actually, there was this place It's called the Back Alley Pub.
Okay.
Every Wednesday or Thursday, they'd have a wing deal. And I don't know what they would do to their ranch, but it was the most flavorful ranch like I've ever had in my life. And it was probably them, I would say.
Right. Well, if we can get that answer, if anybody knows the answer to that right there, we need to find it so we can get a vat of it. We need to save that recipe.
Well, I don't know. I hope it's still the same, but you know how things always change.
Oh,
but,
yeah. Your favorite restaurants always change every 3 months. It always makes you really sad.
Yeah.
Next question I have here from Eric. What has been your favorite feud and match stipulation that you've ever been involved with?
I don't know. I don't really have a favorite. I like a lot of them. I would say, like, my favorite, I have a favorite out of every feud I've been in. And so it's like when me and Andy were tag team champions and we were wrestling Rage and Fury, I really liked our last match that we had. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, it was all over the place and, you know, it was just crazy. And, you know, it sucked that we lost the titles. And, you know, Andy took the pin on that one. Just in case you're wondering.
Throwing a little so, shade there.
So I won the titles for us and that loser lost them.
Oh.
Anyways, I would say that one. And then my feud with Gabriel, it would probably have to be the my casket match I had with him where he ended up throwing John Lynx into the casket. I've never seen him again, but who needs that guy? And then my other one with Kenny Stryker was pretty good. All those, like, the two crazy hardcore matches we had, one in Edmonton, one in Calgary. Because, like, it was kind of like the first time that I've done something like to that extent. And we just went all out and we didn't care what happened to us as long as, like, we didn't break our nose or nobody lost an eye or any teeth. We just went out and beat each other up and the fans just loved every bit of it, and it was nice just the feeling after when you were done to hear the people like cheer, and whether you win or lose, you know, it was just one of those moments that I'll never forget.
Totally. Well, that actually kind of leads me into a good question that's going to be coming up here later in terms of some of your hardcore matches, but we'll get there when we get there, because that's a pretty fun one. Next question I have here from Damien. Who is the classiest wrestler in Canada?
Classiest wrestler in Canada?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I would probably say the Canadian Goose is pretty classy guy. Just, you know, he's like always nice. He's like always happy to see you, and just he uses like these little words, kind of like, you know, instead of like when you normally meet somebody, it's like, hey, what's up, or what's up, guys, whatever. But he'd be like, hey, fellas, how you doing? And just, you know, just very gentlemanly, like, and he's just a soft sweetheart of a guy. And just super, super classy. And he's like, I love being around him just because we went to a buffet. It was me, Taryn from accounting, Michael Blaze, Baby Teeve, and I can't remember if anybody else was there. And he only had like one plate. And I think Michael was like, are you going to have some more? And he was like, I'm not really a guy that eats too much. So I don't know why I came to the buffet with you guys, because it's not really economically feasible for me. And it just kind of, Michael started laughing, and it just kind of blew my mind. And it's like, who says that? You know?
Oh, I love the Goose so much. I couldn't. Shaw, Kyle is such a great guy, man. I honk all the time. Every RCW show, I'm honking like loud.
Yeah. And the thing was, like, when I first met him, I felt like an asshole because, like, I'm terrible with names. And, like, people think I do it on purpose, but for some reason, I kept calling him Brian. And I'd be like, hey, what's up, Brian? And he wouldn't get mad. He'd be like, oh, not bad, Sheik. How you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, but my name is actually Kyle. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm so sorry. But, like, I did it probably, like, 10, 15 times. And then now I just call him Goose just because, like,
cause he's
for
Goose.
Some reason it's hard for me to remember his name. But now I know it's Kyle. So, like, I haven't called him Brian in a while. But there's a couple other guys I get their names wrong. So.
Hey, that's totally okay. There's a lot of people out there. And in terms of wrestlers, there's a lot of wrestlers out there, too.
Yeah. There is. So I try to call them by their wrestling name now. That way it's easier for me to remember, but I still screw it up sometimes.
Hey, that's totally okay. All right, so this leads back to that next question here. This comes from Paul over at the YYC Wrestling Hub. How many pieces of glass did you have to pick out of your back following the Clandestine Society?
I don't know exactly. There was, like, a lot. But, you know, Richie Rage and this guy Thomas, he was our little medic dude, plus Mark, the security guard, they all picked it out of me. But I was finding glass like a couple months after. Like, I found a piece of my back, and I had this hook knife that I used, and I started cutting it out of myself, but I couldn't get it with the tweezers, so I made my little sister do it. And then I found a piece in my elbow that I was trying to cut out, but I couldn't get it. And then I decided to go to the doctors because there was like a bunch of, I don't know what's in there, but it was pretty close to my elbow, so I didn't want to hit any tendons or nothing.
Right.
But then it was the day before a Calgary show. I was kind of scratching my elbow, and I felt something sharp, so I just started picking at it, and I could get enough of it with my finger, so I just pulled it out of my arm. And then one day I was scratching my back, and a piece of glass fell into it. I think there might be a couple more pieces in there, because like, I could feel something hard. I don't know if it's the scars or what, but I'm sure I'll find out what it is soon. I'll be bored enough and I'll dig it out or something.
As a person who got to witness the Clandestine Society firsthand, that death match was absolutely insane. It was my first death match. Just as a
mine,
personal,
mine too.
Fair enough. Yeah. So hopefully it'll probably be your guys' last, because that was terrifying to watch. How was it? Like, I just be honest. How hard was it to get the blood out of your ring gear? Like, honestly, because you guys had so much blood.
Well, to be honest, like, I hated that pair of gear. That's why I wore it. It's not that I hated it, but it was really loose, and I thought, like, you know, I'll wear white. That way the blood will show more, because, like, all my other pants are dark and they're new.
Right.
So I didn't want to ruin those. So I was like, yeah, I'll just wear the white pair, and I'll just throw them out when I'm done.
But, fair enough.
But actually, like, Tex Gaines, I threw them in the garbage. Tex Gaines' mom, like, took them out and cleaned them, and they are spotless.
Wow.
So, like, good on her. And then I didn't want them, so I was going to, like, maybe have me and Colton Kelly and what's his name?
Evan Adams.
Maybe all of us sign it and auction it off to somebody or something. But I haven't seen them since a couple weeks after the show.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, I know Evan's back out in Ontario, I think it is.
Yeah.
And Colton, of course, he's doing his own thing right now as well. So.
Yeah.
Next question I have here from Mitch. He says, you've wrestled under different names, or have you wrestled under different names? If so, what are they? And what's your favorite wrestling name other than, you know, the Sheik Akbar Shabazz?
Well, in the beginning, I wrestled under a few names, but the Sheik is probably my favorite, just because, you know, it's more who I am now, kind of. But I get to just basically be myself, but I got to tone it down a little bit. Yeah, I would say the Sheik, just, you know, that's what I've been doing for a long time now, and just, like, getting better and better at the doing Sheik stuff, you know.
Fair enough. All right, next one here from Paul over at the YYC Wrestling Hub once again. Edmonton's Combative Sports Commission has their own awards to recognize athletic achievements. What did it mean for you to be recognized in 2017 alongside athletes like Jelena Mirjanovic, 8-time Women's World Championship boxer?
I appreciated it. And it was like a cool experience to go to and like be awarded and whatever, but I don't know. It wasn't like a big deal to me, not to like shit on the awards thing, but I just like, yeah, I appreciate it. It's good to be recognized for what you do, but like, I just like to wrestle. I don't care to get awards or anything like that, but it was cool to, you know, have her there and other people and just, you know, have the athletes, all of us there and just, you know, be in this big group thing and just how kind of share that moment. But for the most part, it was just like whatever. I don't know.
For you, it's more about the wrestling than the
yeah,
the
just mainly because like I appreciate it, but like none of those guys come to wrestling shows and whatever. They just, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, hey, we think this guy should win or whatever it is, or however they do their voting, you know. So mm-hmm. if they came and actually, like, you know, gave a shit about it instead of just trying to take our money, I would probably say it was more of something that would mean more. But it's kind of just like, you know, hey, we should probably add these guys into our thing because we take their money and just make them feel good about what's going on. But I mean, everybody knows what's up.
Fair enough. Next question here from Mike D. Mike Ducey. Pineapple on pizza, yay or nay?
Well, you know what, man? You'll never find a bigger food whore than me, so I don't care what you throw on my pizza. I will eat it. Pineapple or not, it's all the same to me. As long as I got ranch with my pizza, then I'm good.
Of course, either Kraft or that Hidden Valley stuff, essentially.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be, but, like, yeah, like, whatever. As long as it's not, like, some, you know, healthy, attempted healthy ranch kind of thing or some no-name brand.
None of that fake stuff.
Pretty much, yeah. You could tell the difference when it's fake. You know, you can't trick me.
Totally. Next, I got a question here from Marcel. How do you feel about Becky stealing your Sheiky Two Belts moniker?
Isn't that, you know what, that was kind of funny because I was doing it first, and then she goes with Becky Two Belts and whatever. I don't know. It's just one of those, it could be a coincidence. I highly doubt she was watching PWA Wrestling or whatever, but I don't know. It's just pretty cool that I did it first and then she was doing it. Maybe, you know, great minds think alike. Or
you knew you were doing it right when somebody like Becky Lynch is suddenly doing it at the top of the WWE.
You know, usually, like, we see their stuff and steal it, but, you know, she's stealing my stuff, so I should have copyrighted it. I got some money out of her.
Yeah, just send a message back. Like, excuse me, I'm Sheiky Two Belts. Thanks very much, Becky.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll care so much about it.
Becky Two cease and desists.
Yeah.
A little smack talk here from the spaceman Barry Grayson. He says, what was it like to lose to a debuting spaceman still in training, all while you were the champion? But also much love from the spaceman.
You know, that spaceman's a dickhead. He's one of those guys that just, you know, he's just got one of those faces you want to smack.
You're going to smack? Well, so, is this going to be something we're going to see re-soon? That's exciting.
No, I like the spaceman. He's really cool. he likes to throw his jabs and whatever. But no, it was fun. Like, it was good because, like, I had I think that was his first match with him. And, I don't know, I had a fun time. It was cool to see him because, like, you know, we'd go wrestle in Grand Prairie and he was starting out as a referee and whatever, and then he, you know, wanted to train and learn to wrestle, and, you know, he went to Lance Storm's camp. But it was good to see, like, from when we first saw him to then, and, you know, it was very surprising, but it just goes to show, you know, don't underestimate your opponent no matter how long you've been doing it or how good you think you are. You know, you let your guard down, people will take advantage of you.
That's some great insight right there. All right.
But still, Spaceman can suck it.
Yeah, there you go, Spaceman. Apparently, you gotta watch your mouth before Sheik.
He should watch his mouth because he stays at my house when he comes to the city. So I might just throw a little pillow outside for him next time.
Throw a little itching powder on his blanket or something.
Yeah.
There you go. Some good ribbing going on there. All right, another question here from Marcel. How did you end up with the absolute best entrance music of any wrestler anywhere of any time? And I assume he's referring to Band of Gypsies by Cypress Hill.
Cypress Hill? I was one day, like, I don't know, I really liked Cypress Hill back in the day, and I was kind of just getting back into them. And I didn't know they had a new album out. And so I was, one day, I can't remember where I was, but I was listening to it. And I like to get opinions from other people, just what they think and whatever. And so I was kind of just listening to it and listened to it again. And it actually, like, the song actually starts with some guy and he's like singing in Arabic. So I just, that part I didn't want to use, but, like, as soon as Be Real started rapping, I just, like, couldn't, like, get that part out of my head. So I just thought, like, you know, I sent it to Michael and I was like, hey, I want you to listen to this song. What do you think this, or how do you think, do you think this would be a good thing, entrance song for me, or whatever? And he listened to it. And, like, usually when I send him music or whatever, some of it's a rib when I send it to him, and he just, like, shits all over me for it. But he, I was kind of surprised. I thought he was going to say, like, it's no good because, like, you know, it wasn't as traditional Arabic sounding as my old music was. But he actually really liked it, and then I just kind of, I always do this, it's weird, whatever, but, like, if I'm at the gym, I kind of just, like, do wrestling stuff at the gym where it's, like, whether it's my walk or a taunt or just stupid things, and people watch me sometimes, and I had the music playing, and I was just kind of, like, walking up and down the aisle, and I just thought, like, you know, this would be a pretty sweet song to come out to.
It's a great song. I really enjoy this song.
Yeah. And then Boris, the music guy, I wanted kind of, like, something in the beginning before the music actually hit, and he found that little soundbite of Fresh Prince where Will Smith would always say his name was something Shabazz. It was either, you know, Akbar Shabazz Jenkins or Raheem Shabazz, Muslim activist, he would say. And that's actually where I got the name from, too, because I'm a huge Will Smith fan, and I love Fresh Prince. It's my favorite show, so I couldn't think of a name, so I just said that. And so he threw that in there, and it just worked.
Dude, I'm a huge fan of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, like you. I grew up on the show. Still to this day, whenever that scene where Will is talking to Uncle Phil after his dad left, and he was talking about how his dad didn't want
him. Yeah.
Dude, I cry every time. Every single time.
It's such a like heartwarming moment, you know. They don't do TV like that anymore.
No, not at all. That scene, like, it gets to you. Like, it's weird. You can even hear like the crowd, like the audience is like silent and crying during it. It's so good.
Yeah. But the only thing that sucks is it's the only episode. Like, the best part is the bloopers, but they didn't do any on that one.
Yeah, that's true.
And then season 5 they stopped doing it.
Well, that was what, season 3, I want to say.
It was season 4 because it was the first season where they switched Aunt
Viv. So, yeah, that's right. It's the new Aunt Viv. That's right.
Yeah, which I think the old one was way better.
I think she definitely had more character, and she was definitely more of a lead in most of the show.
Yeah, she had more character, and she was a better actor. Plus, you know, I had a crush on Aunt Viv, the original one. But, and, you know, it sucks that they had to change her out, but.
Apparently, just according to, because I've watched like tons of stuff, and there was even something recently where they were talking about it. Apparently, she was a bit difficult to work with and didn't believe that Will Smith was very talented.
Yeah, and then they decided to kind of cut a lot of her parts out in the new seasons, and she didn't like it, and she raised a fuss, and so she said, you know, I'm not going to do it. And then they just said, okay, see you later.
Yeah. I thought she was such a good like singer and dancer, though. Man, she was really talented.
I thought she was really good, yeah. She like great. She was like way better than in the new end.
Well, I think they did that on purpose. I think they brought her in there to be a docile character moving into the season.
Yeah, I think so too. Plus, she wasn't as attractive, I feel. And so it was kind of more believable that Uncle Phil would get that Aunt Viv instead of the original version.
I think we have to do an entire podcast just on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air at this
point. Man, I'm down.
I'm down for that. We're gonna, all right, there you guys go. The second follow-up interview is a Fresh Prince interview with the Sheik.
Yeah.
All right, next quick question here for you from Marcel. I feel like Sheik has lost very little in Saskatoon. What's your secret to being such a dominating force in Saskatoon for PPW?
I don't know. I just show up and I just do whatever.
I don't know. Do what you do.
I feel like I've lost quite a bit in Saskatoon, but I mean, I don't know. I guess just beat the piss out of your opponent before he can get up and do it to you.
There you go. And you're doing that better than everybody over there, apparently, right now.
I try. I've been told I hit pretty hard, which, you know.
I would hate to be on the receiving end of a punch from you. You already stand quite a lot taller than I do and have clearly a lot more size than I do. I would be terrified personally.
Well, you know what? Like the only time I actually like feel terrible was I was wrestling a tag match and I was fighting O'Doyle. And he was like pretty close to the ropes. And I don't even know why I did this still to this day. I just ran and jumped and his back was turned to me. And like, usually I have an idea of what I'm doing or I know what I'm doing, but I jumped and had no clue what I was doing, so I just said, screw it, and I kicked him so hard in the back, like, I felt bad. And usually I just don't notice or I don't care, but, you know, I just seen the whiplash, and then his throat hit the ropes, and, like, you know, even though I'm wrestling this guy, like, I felt sorry for him.
He was like, damn, that was a little too far.
it was, yeah. I'm just like, so, yeah.
I assume you got the win, though. Clearly, he got the win knocked out of him, so.
I don't remember, but yeah, maybe.
All right, I got a string of questions here from Marcel's 10-year-old child. Were any of your family members wrestlers, or are you the first?
No, I'm the first that I know of. I don't even think anybody in my family is really athletic.
So. There you go. Next question. Stone Cold or The Rock?
I was always a Rock fan. I just, like, growing up, like, you know, Stone Cold was always beating up Bret Hart, so I hated Stone Cold for it. And I always just liked The Rock because it just talked so much smack, and he was always, like, flashy and just did whatever and just really didn't care, and it's kind of I feel like how I try to be just on a lower scale.
Totally. I was going to say, I can kind of see a little bit of like the Rock's, I guess you could almost say cockiness in the way that you portray yourself sometimes when you have an advantage. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I do. And, you know, whatever. Like, yeah, the Rock was cocky. He walked down the ramp. He beat people up. He left. He won. He did this. He did that. And it's kind of like, you know, who's going to stop him? It's
I feel
the same way, really. I mean,
yeah, you guys both have that excuse. You're like, yeah, but who is going to stop you, clearly? Andy Anderson's not going to be stopping you. The era of Archer's not going to be stopping you.
No, nobody will.
There you go. Another question here from Marcel's 10-year-old child. What other sports have you played, and what other sports did you excel at?
I used to play everything, actually. I was, you know, basketball, baseball, soccer, like anything. I was, growing up, I loved getting in trouble. And just, like, I was always just, like, that bad kid. And my parents would always just put me in, like, these sports and activities just to keep me out of trouble. My mom even put me in Sunday school just so she knew where I was and that I couldn't get into any trouble. But I drew a penis on the guy's pants and he threw me out. So.
Oh, this has been the best interview. Oh, fantastic. All right. Well, I have another question here for you before I let you go. Question I've asked every single person. Throughout history, there's been a lot of different championships in wrestling for multiple different promotions and different iterations throughout time. If there was ever a wrestling championship that you could say, that you could hold or say that, you know, this is the Sheik's championship or that you could carry, what championship would it be?
Well, I really like the look of the Undisputed title when they joined them together, the World Heavyweight and the WWE Championship.
When Jericho got it, you mean?
When Jericho got it, yeah. And I think like Brock Lesnar was holding it, and I seen it, and it just looked cool and whatever. But I would just have to say like the double wing, the Eagle belt there that Bret Hart would carry back in the early 90s and mid-90s. I think that was probably my favorite one because that was like, the one that was around the time where I watched wrestling the most, I fell in love with it and just kind of like got the dream of becoming a wrestler. And just when I see it, it just brings me back to that moment, you know, and just, you know, you'd have Bret Hart and you'd wrestle like, you know, like Bam Bam and all these other guys and whatever. So I see that belt and it just kind of takes me back to when I was a kid. It's just, I guess for sentimental reasons, not really for me wanting to carry it, but I would, if, you know, if I got the chance to.
So, like, you would have that belt. Would you want to take it off of Brett? Would that be, like, your dream, if all throughout history match?
Well, yeah, back then, yeah, I would definitely love to wrestle Bret Hart. You know? If I could, my three guys would be, like, I'd love to wrestle, like, Bret Hart, Eddie Guerrero, or Kurt Angle, you know.
All when they were in their prime, you would say.
In their prime, yeah, yeah. Because, like, there's just, like, I mean, it'd be a crazy fight, and, you know, you'd learn so much just, you know, being in the ring with them and just, I don't know, just seeing what level they are and you're not and just where you want to be and just, you know, it would definitely make me want to be the best I can. Not that I'd say I'm probably lazily doing it right now, but, you know.
Fair enough. Well, I mean, those are three great people to be wanting to learn from anyways, right? Like, those are three like epicenters of different types of wrestling.
And yeah, so, and just completely different styles, you know?
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah. All right, buddy. Well, thank you so much for joining me here today. But before we do let you go, plug your stuff. Where can people find you? Where can they keep in touch with you?
On my Instagram, just let me check here. My Instagram is Sheik Shabazz, and you can find me there. I'm not really much on social media, but anyways, my Twitter is, I don't know, let me take a look at this one too. Oh, The Sheik Akbar, because apparently Sheik Shabazz was taken. For Facebook, you can find me at, my real name is Nizar Watchfa, so you can find me there.
Perfect.
I don't really do too much. Mainly my Facebook is about turtles and cat videos and just food. That's the main three things people tag me in. So.
Well, those all sound like three things that I really enjoy watching. So, and for the food, I like to eat that one. That one's an eating one.
Yeah. Well, like a lot of stuff, like people will tag me in these crazy food things, and like I could probably do it, but a lot of them look pretty gross, and they're just like, I mean, I could do it, but I wouldn't want to.
Yeah, fair enough. Is there a food that you know of that you you stay away from? I know you said that you're a food whore, but there's got
to
be some.
Okay. I do not like to eat lentils. I will not. Yeah. My mom makes this. Like, my mom would make this thing. In Lebanese, it's called jadra. My mom would make it, and it was like the saddest looking food I've ever seen. It was like gray, and it just looked like prison food that you would get like in a third world country. And like, if this food had a personality, it would be depression. And it was just like, I remember my dad, he like loves it, and he'd be like, oh, you should eat it. It gives you lots of iron and this and that. And just like, forget about it. You know, when my mom would make it, I would just make a hamburger or something. And then, I don't eat, this, it's called okra. It's a little green bean.
Oh yeah. I know okra. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had some in Louisiana last year when I went down.
Yeah, my mom, I won't do it. And there's a lot of things, like when I was growing up, my mom would just force me to eat, but like these, she wouldn't, because she just knew I would rather starve to death than eat it. And then, you know, and liver. I hate. Like,
that's the one for me too.
Ugh. Cooked liver is disgusting, but like I love to eat raw liver.
Okay, well, I won't agree with you on that one. Cooked liver, raw liver.
You should try it. It's a totally different taste. You
smells just put a little seasoning and salt. Tastes like feet to me. That's what I
when it's about. Honestly, it's weird. When it's raw, it's delicious and tastes and smells completely different.
You know what? I'll give it a shot. Honestly, I'll give that a shot, but I won't eat cooked liver because I think that smells just disgusting.
Yeah, cooked liver is gross. But you take a little piece of pita bread with your little chunk of liver, you put a little seasoning salt, maybe a little bit of paprika, and you eat it, and it's delicious, man.
Yeah. You know what's here? Another thing. I've got people who got mad at me. They're like, you don't like liver because you don't like blood. That's what it is. That's horseshit. I like blood. I like blood sausage. It's delicious. It's something in the liver.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't do blood sausage.
Oh, well.
Just...
That's not that bad. Trust me. I'll have raw liver if you have blood sausage. How's that sound?
You know what, man? Like, I don't know. I once ate a live salamander. I've eaten a live salamander. I've tried sheep's brain. I've eaten the eyeball, but I will never eat like cow tongue either. You know, it's just...
Oh, cow tongue's gross too, yeah.
No. Yeah, it makes sense in my head, but like, whatever.
I had to cook one for my mom once on a stove, and the smell is burned into my nose for eternity and never again. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. All right, well, thanks for joining me today, buddy. Hope you yourself a great day.
Yeah, you too, man.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Big thank you once again to Sheik for joining me here today to talk wrestling and his career up to this point. And of course, it's a weird time right now, so it's always fun to just kind of get it out and just talk some old school stuff as well, like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I had a lot of fun with that. But thank you all once again for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard, remember to hit that like button and subscribe on whatever podcast app you're listening to this on. It also helps out the show immensely if you left us a 5-star rating and review, if that is what you want to do. I hope you all have yourself a wonderful day, and I will chat with you soon.